Now we would like to welcome Brad to come up and give us the message for today. I don't know if Patty has anything to say before he starts, but Linda, what an experience. You know, a lot of people have lived in the United States all their lives, and they really don't know what a lot of the other cultures are like. And I tell you, women in the U.S. are very fortunate, because so many places the woman is just property. And they really, and in the Bible, a woman was not a good witness, because they were really not considered equal with a man. But what a change. So Brad, if those that don't know Brad, Brad is related to somebody fairly close to us. Brad Hunter, Kevin's brother. Welcome, Brad.
Yeah, we love and esteem and value women so much, we even give you a day. I just so highly value and esteem the work that God's given you, Linda, and the team. It's awesome. Welcome, everybody. It's so good to be here together with you again. Father, we just, again, submit and commit to your Holy Spirit leading. We trust you, Lord, to take the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart and let it be acceptable in your sight. Lord, we treasure when you show up. And when you're here in the midst, and Lord, we are gathered together because without you, we are nothing. We're an Elks Club, and we know that we need you desperately. So, Jesus, would you please put your hands on this time, put your hands on every single person in this room, and let your anointing fall upon us now. Give us ears to hear. Open up our hearts, Lord, that we might truly be transformed and changed by the power of your word. Whether it's visual or written, let it be transforming. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wow. Wow. Well, thank you for letting us be with you again today. You will hear from Patty shortly. I've incorporated her into the Word this morning, so she can't get out. It's awesome what she has to share as well. Let's see. Let me start with a story. In 1984, remember where you were in 84? Well, Patty and I were a young family with two daughters, Hillary and Emily. I'm 32 years old. We are living in Bellevue, and I'm co-owner of a small advertising agency. I'm a Christian, but I'm struggling to figure out at age 32 who I am, why I was created, what my purpose and my destiny was. It's at this time that I realize I'm scarcely a year away from the age when Jesus was crucified. So my mental state here is, hey, I don't deserve to live past 33. I mean, if my Savior, my Lord and Savior died at 33, then I don't have a clue why I'm still here. But I'm here. And so one day I open up with a very close friend of mine. We're installing carpet in a little house that we just purchased in the Bellevue area. And I get to the point where I say, you know, I don't really know or have a clue what my gifting is. What is my calling? Whatever that means. If I'm here just one more year, then what should I be doing? Immediately, he pipes up. Oh, that's easy, Brad. You're an encourager. When people are around you or when you speak or listen to someone, they go away encouraged. Well, that conversation with my friend, Scott Razor, changed my life. He spoke in just those brief few words why God made me the way I am. And it put me on a course that now, 32 years later, we have launched a website called encouragingwords.co. Simple daily words that are intended to encourage, motivate, inspire, and or comfort. So if you get some time, I'd love to have you check out the site and provide me your feedback. That would be awesome. Encouragingwords.co.
C-O,
correct. Yeah. Encouragingwords.com was already taken. So take the M off and you'll have the site that we've been able to put together now 32 years later when I finally figured out why God put me here. So anyway, which leads me actually to what the Lord dropped on my heart for today. Words matter. More specifically, your words matter. Proverbs 25:11 says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver." Is that just the most awesome scripture verse? Have you ever heard a word like that? Or better yet, have you ever shared a word like that? You just knew that the Holy Spirit inspired you to share something with someone, and you may not have known it. Even now, it may have seemed so inconsequential, but that person went away and it changed their life. That's what happened for me when Scott Razor spoke into my life. We had a friend like that. Her name was Kelly Eschenbacher. Jim and Kelly were very close friends of ours. We lived in Spokane at the time, and we would go out to dinner with Jim and Kelly. We'd be sitting down, we'd be eating our meal, and all of a sudden Kelly would be gone. She'd get up from her chair and she'd walk over to another booth because God had laid it on her heart. The Holy Spirit had inspired her to speak a word to someone. Right then, just boom, and she was obedient. Kelly was the most obedient soul I knew. And she would just go over and just grab their hands and say, "Did you know God wants you to know that He loves you?" And it was just life transforming for people. It was just amazing how she was totally led by the Holy Spirit. And that's what we can be if we truly are yielded instruments of the Lord. Wherever we are, in whatever public discourse we're in, whatever gas station you're at, if you're open to the Holy Spirit and obedient, that's all He calls us to be, isn't it? Just obedient. He will do the rest. He does the rest. All we're called to do is just sow seeds, whether it's in India or it's in Paulsbo or Port Ludlow or wherever it might be. Well, here's the amazing thing or the ironic thing about Kelly's life. Unfortunately, it was a negative word that caused Kelly to seek out medical attention for her nose. somebody had come up to Kelly, a very close friend, and said, "Kelly, when are you going to get that nose fixed?" Well, unfortunately, when she was a child, her nose had been broken. And so it was just crooked. It had healed, but it just was a little bit crooked. And she had a deviated septum. And those words stuck with her. So years later, she and her husband had discussed it and said, "You know, I just can't let go of this. I feel like I need to get my nose fixed. Everybody's just staring at my nose." And so she went in for, it was a local procedure in the office. But unfortunately, she was allergic to the anesthetic. Her lungs filled up with fluid and she was dead in 2 hours. The shock and awe that we were all in, we just devastated everybody. Just devastated. She had 3 young children. Just a beautiful family. And yet, a word that was spoken. Now, obviously, God had Kelly's life in his hands and knew exactly every heartbeat that she would have. But we felt like she had a whole life ahead of her, and it was a negative word that was spoken that caused her to even seek this out, because Kelly was a beautiful girl, just a stunningly beautiful girl, and had the radiance of the Lord just shone from out every pore in her body. But anyway, words matter, don't they? Words really matter. In case you haven't noticed, you are bombarded by words. Blah, 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 blah. 30,000 to 100,000 words a day on average. That doesn't include the words that you read. Who is the nut coming up with that statistic? I don't know, but there is so much noise today that it's nearly impossible to hear those apples of gold in settings of silver, or to hear the Holy Spirit's prompting and share those apples of gold in settings of silver with someone, because we're so busy and we've got the radio on every time we're jumping in the car, or the TV on every time we're at home to keep us company. And we've just got the words just blaring out at us all the time, don't we? Words matter. In the 1960s, that wasn't really that long ago now, was it? I mean, come on. But there were 3 television channels, ABC, CBS, and NBC. Da, da, da. Public television came along in 1969, so right at the end of the 60s. But, of course, today the average American household has, 189 television channels. Plus, of course, depending on your provider, hundreds more. Blah, 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 blah. And there are nearly 14,000 AM and FM radio stations in the United States alone, plus hundreds more on satellite if you have that subscription and capability in your car or elsewhere. And, of course, now the blessing is the online world. It's just taken over. As of May last year, there were, and the reason I give this statistic is from last year is because it hit a peak, 858 million website host names. And 177 million are active websites. So, take your pick. Blah, 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 blah. The top websites, of course, are Google, YouTube, and Facebook, with well over a billion users every day. Plus, you have texting, Instagram, email, instant messaging, social networking, video conferencing, FaceTime, WhatsApp, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat. It's crazy, isn't it? It's just absolutely crazy. In other words, there are innumerable ways for you to be filling your life with noise. Words matter. And as we know, words have power. It's just not true that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's just not true, is it? They have power. A well-placed word, in fact, can soothe anger. It can create goodwill. And it can provide comfort, as you have done for Harriet this last week in the loss of her brother. Conversely, a careless word and the tone of our words can cause much destruction, can't they? In fact, Patty has a story about the power of words in her life.
Okay. Oh, can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Well, as Brad told me what the Lord had asked him to share, and as I was seeking God about it, he reminded me of an incident in high school. But he took me further. It's just a little, just word. In high school, my junior year, I'd gotten done my SATs and all this stuff, and my dad taught college, and it was always like, you're going to college. Well, my high school counselor looked at my stuff. We met, and he goes, there's no way, you're flunking out. You cannot go to college. Don't even consider it. And it was like, oh, it never occurred to me. But those words, it's like, so, because it wasn't an option to me. I actually got accepted, and I just worked hard. So those words, sometimes, they can be there, and it's like, I think I worked harder as a result. So that was a situation where I was like, if that's true, I can overcome it. So I kind of built myself
through that.
But how
many have ever heard the words, you'll never make it? You can't do that,
I can't, I was believing that I couldn't, but anyway, I got through that. But I know we've shared. The Lord, I felt, led me to a word that he gave me. That was an encouraging word. Oh, I hope I can get through this. Because we shared with you previously that Brad and I have a healed marriage. And at the very bottom of the worst point in our marriage, and Brad we were separated. We were not living in the same house. And I was just sobbing, just that. Broken. I was just the worst wife ever, and I worshipped my kids and spent all my energies on everything else other than our relationship. And I was a wreck. I was just sobbing, just sobbing and weeping, and I'm just no good.
That's called snobbing.
I'm at the bottom of my barrel. I'm the worst ever. I heard a voice, and I've only heard an audible voice twice in my life, knowing it was the Lord. And I heard this voice, and the voice said, I call you Patricia. And that was it. And it was like, So I looked up Patricia, and it means noble. And everything started changing from there. If the Lord said I was noble, I mean, suddenly I started going, well, he thinks I'm noble. That means I'm precious. I'm valuable. And it's just, I knew it was true because the Lord told me that. That's who I was, and that's how he saw me, even though I wasn't there yet. But I was,
Proverbs 31, a woman of noble character who can find.
That's what Brad told me this morning as I told him I wanted to share that the Lord called me and reminded me that he had called me Patricia. And Brad brought Proverbs 31, which I always thought, yeah, right. Who could ever hit that, you know? But in my version of the Bible, the heading on Proverbs 31, verse 10 says, a wife of noble character. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Look how where he's brought us back. This is now 20 years after the healing of our marriage. But I really feel like he's put some of that character has come out because I believe that's the way the Lord saw me. And just the first part of it, as you've probably all heard, a wife of noble character who can find. She is worth far more than rubies. And her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. Isn't that cool? So, the Lord's words about who we are so accurate.
Amen. Amen. Words matter, don't they? Words matter. Thank you, Patty. Powerful. Wow. Yeah. Brad still means thin nail. Just nothing there. But I am married to a noble wife. Wow. So, words matter. What do we call the Bible? The Word of God. Is that great? Wow. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. That word, means something said or spoken, including the thought, the reasoning, and the motive behind it. Breaking the silence, communication, the divine expression as in Christ himself. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How did Jesus handle words? In Matthew chapter 4, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Verse 4, but he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. No wonder there are so many words trying to drown out God's words. The enemy of our souls know that our life comes from the words of God. Words matter. John chapter 12, verse 49. Jesus speaking here, for I have not spoken on my own authority, But the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment. Here's the commandment. What to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. Words matter to Jesus. That's why he only speaks what the Father tells him to speak. And that's why you can trust Jesus' words. Matthew chapter 8. We're doing a little calisthenics this morning, but it's worth it, isn't it? Words matter. So verse 5, when Jesus, had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he, Jesus, said to him, I will come and heal him. Oh, but the centurion replied, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. That means all of us, scum sucking pigs, who are not of the faith, because we've been saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, those are the folks that, by the grace of God, are able to come and join Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. Verse 12, though, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness, in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 13, and to the centurion Jesus said, go, and let it be done as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. I mean, come on, let's face it. The centurion could have gained a great deal of fame and visibility by having Jesus come to his house and heal the guy. This is what Jesus had volunteered to do. I will come and heal him. No, no, no. You don't have to do that. Because all that mattered to the centurion, who was simply a Roman soldier, he wasn't of the faith, but he had the faith to believe that the words of Jesus mattered more than him even coming to the house. Jesus' words mattered. Just say the word. Do your words matter the same way as that? Do they carry that much weight because you're the person someone can trust with your words? They're not concerned with what comes out of your mouth because they know there'll be words that matter, that will be in a good way. Wow. I'd like to share with you a small video clip. If you've seen the movie Les Miserables or read the book, you know that the central character, his name is Jean Valjean. He's a common thief. He's a criminal. But he is changed by the words of one man. A scene that depicts this changing redemptive moment in his life. He's been invited to stay in the home of the bishop. And what happens absolutely transforms this man. So how do we handle words? It should be no surprise that the scriptures speak eloquently about how we're to use our words. James is a famous book about how our use of words can be a blessing or not so much. James chapter 3, starting in verse 2. If anyone does not stumble in what he says or she says, he is a perfect man or woman, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also that Kevin and Sherry are on today. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed, and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. I've ransomed you back from evil and fear, and I give you back to God. What powerful words that transformed Jean Valjean's life. It's a wonderful movie. If you've never seen it, it's truly worth seeing. So when we read these words in James, we realize that there is no neutral seed, is there? Words either bring life or they are deadly. In the next chapter of James 4, verse 11, it says, "Do not speak evil one of another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law." And judges the law. "But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor?" When it has to do with the elections coming up, or the latest athlete who's gone off the deep end, or the he who now thinks he's a she, we're not called to judge or to criticize or to act holier than thou. We're called to humble ourselves and intercede. In Ephesians 4:29, Paul says, "Don't let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." So the challenge for us today is to use our words to build others up, not to tear them down. I have another short video to share with you this morning. This story takes place in the South in the 1950s. Somehow people with fair skin consider themselves superior to people of another skin color and culture. There are lots of stories with this theme, but this one reinforces the impact the helping workers have on the next generation of children who were neglected by their own parents because they were too busy climbing the social ladder. If you've ever seen the movie The Help, you'll recognize this scene. Ladies and gentlemen, words matter, don't they? You is kind. You is smart. And you is important. People who work in prison ministries often describe stories they hear from inmates where they talk about a parent, either a mom or dad, who hurt them deeply by the words that came out of their mouths. Sometimes it's the words that are not spoken that can be just as harmful, like never hearing, "I love you," "You are special," "I am proud of you," "You is important." The words that are omitted can be just as deadly as the words that are committed to the ears of a child. And of course, this applies to adults as well, doesn't it? In Matthew chapter 12, starting in the last part of the verse of 34, it says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. The evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account of every careless word they speak. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned." Ouch. Luke 6, verse 45. "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." I mentioned to you early on in 1984 that I was co-owner of a small advertising agency in Bellevue. My partner and I split up in 1986, and about a year after that, I had a client that owed me a lot of money. For me, it was a lot of money. It was $140,000. And he called me into his office, and he said, "I'm sorry, I can't pay you." I said, "Excuse me? If you can't pay me, I'm out of business." And he said, "Yeah, I'm sorry. We just can't pay you." And we had placed all of that media for him and purchased all that space. And, of course, I was committed to all of those suppliers for all of that stuff. So we went to the end on our line of credit. We hawked our house. We did everything that we could to pay back all of the debt. But in the meantime, I had to lay some people off. One of those was our bookkeeper. And come to find out that our bookkeeper had absconded with thousands of dollars worth of money in our little business. And so that was a double whammy. And so we did not know what to do. We sought out godly counsel. People everywhere we could think of to help us find out what to do. And they basically were saying, "You know what? You probably need to just claim the year of Jubilee and file bankruptcy and, you know, start over." And I had a former associate who I sought out his advice, and he said, "You know, you really don't have what it takes to run a business like this. You probably should just close up and go to work for somebody else." So that's the state that I found myself in every morning when I would come out to the living room early and just wail at the wall and just say, "God, I don't know what else to do. Help." So we made an appointment with a friend who was an attorney. And we sat down with him in his office and we presented our case. Whoa! I don't know what to do. Woe is me. Wail at the wall. And went into great detail about our bookkeeper who had absconded with these funds and just railed. And he was so patient and so kind with us and had such a good listening ear. And at the end, we basically said, okay, we're done. What should we do? And he looked at me, and Patty was next to me, and he said, have you forgiven her? Just absolutely transformed our lives. Have you forgiven her? And so we went home. We got on our faces before the Lord and we said, Lord, we release her. We release this whole situation to you. We're done. And it transformed our lives. It changed our lives. We didn't get a dime of it back, but it doesn't matter. We're free. We're totally, absolutely free because somebody spoke words that brought life instead of death. And all I can say is 11 months later, every dime was paid back. God mercifully met us, and we have no explanation other than it was the absolute hand of God that helped us. We were this close to absolutely filing bankruptcy. We had made the appointment, and I got a telephone call. It was a client, another client. They needed a small project to be done. I mean, I think I made $100 out of that little project. But it was a ray of light. And I just turned to Patty the next morning and I said, you know what, hon? I don't think we're supposed to file bankruptcy. I think we're supposed to walk through this. God has a plan in all this. And he met us and walked with us through it because somebody spoke words that mattered, and they brought life. Words matter. Words build up or they tear down. We get to choose our words. Which ones will you choose? And it's best for you to choose your words carefully, isn't it? The bondage words create, if we forgive that person, we set that person free, and in the process, we set ourselves free. As was mentioned before by Paula, we have a prayer team after service. If you'd like prayer for anything this morning, whether it's words that matter and have stuck with you, and you want to be released and freed and be able to forgive, or it's something else that God's put on your heart this morning as we've been, sorry, we've not been doing a lot of picture stuff, but it's been pretty linear this morning, but please don't leave without getting the prayer that you need this morning. I'm so grateful for the worship team this morning and how they led us. Thank you so much, you guys. You're such a blessing to this church and to us being able to come and be with you this morning. Can I just close us in prayer this morning? Let's grab a hand. Let's just grab a hand with somebody next to you here. Father, thank you so much for your words that bring life. Lord, thank you that you care. Lord, this morning on Pentecost Sunday, we just again submit our mouths, our speech, our thoughts to you. We ask, Lord, that you would direct our tongues, that you'd help us to remember that words do matter. Help us to be givers of life, to be led by your Holy Spirit with friend and foe alike, with the closest of family, with the closest of the person that's a total stranger. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to you and be givers of life, givers of words of encouragement. Words matter, Lord. We pray, Lord, too, that if there's anyone here today struggling with words that were spoken to them, Father, we pray that you'd break that curse now in Jesus' name. Break the effect of the impact those words have had. Even years later, Lord, I pray right now that you'd begin the process of transforming hearts and setting captives free. All over this room, Lord, let captives be set free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Amen.
Yes, please. Amen. 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 Yeah. Amen. Amen.